Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 139. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And Zelda Queen is sleepy.
As she yawns again. So, this has not been a good week for our childhood, I guess is one way you could put it. Atari declared bankruptcy and filed Chapter 11 to separate themselves from their French home company, Atari SA, I think is what the name of it was. And now they're looking to try and figure out how they're going to pay their 40 employees and what parts of them they need to sell off in order to pay all their debtors.
What does Atari do now?
I know they had more. They still actually sell a lot of their old games. Because they have a bunch of stuff on the iPhone and Android Play Store, their old type of games that they used to play. Let's see. Baldur's Gate, Pong World, Outlaw on the App Store, the Atari Arcade on Internet Gaming Reimagined by Internet Explorer? No wonder they're going down. And then they have their Atari's Greatest Hits app that you buy the apps for like 99 cents at a time to play the different old arcade games on the Android Play and the Apple iStore. So they have their basically old games. They're not really doing a whole lot of new stuff as of recently.
Yeah, because I can't even think of any new stuff that they've been doing. And I thought Atari went away for a little while after, you know, the whole crash before Nintendo came over.
It's not the first time they've tried to go out of business.
Yeah.
Maybe after the crash, someone just, you know, they changed hands.
Did they actually do Terra?
People could have the...
Apparently they did Terra, which was a recent MMO that came out, which I heard was pretty good.
I don't even know what they do. And I hear Atari, I just think of my console.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently they actually did Terra, which was a recent MMO that's going free to play next month, technically. Yeah, anyway. Next month, because it's still January. Sometime in February it's going free to play, but they didn't say when in February it's going free to play.
Okay. I was going to say, because February is just coming Friday, which is kind of scary. We're already a 12th of the way through the year.
Yeah, it looks like they have a game called Blade Kitten. That sounds like something that would have been imagined in Japan.
Blade Kitten.
Read the synopsis for it.
Game description. Welcome to Hollow Wish. On the surface, it's your typical lawless frontier. Yet this mysterious shell planetoid is filled with dark secrets and cloaked figures. It's here. Kit Ballard works as one of the best bounty hunters in the business. Don't let her pink hair fool you. Kit is part cat, part girl, and wholly lethal. Wow, that sounds horrible. She is one of the last of her species, having fled her home after the genocide of her people at the hands of an ancient and mystical race known as the Darks. So we have four different cliches in this synopsis.
Cat girl. Assassin.
Last of her kind.
Genocide, last of her race.
Yeah.
And mysterious ancient race. Kit has since made a name for herself, rounding up some of the most deadly scum in the galaxy. With her unique dark blade hovering at her side and obeying her every command, Kit can cut through even the toughest rogue drone while hunting down soft targets. Also along for the ride is Skiffy, Kit's laid-back little sidekick, who, when needed, serves as her protector. So it is very cliche. It might be a fun side-scrolling brawler or whatever type of game it is. See, pick up and play arcade style. Players can jump right in and easily begin exploring and fighting their way through levels, offering multiple paths with secret areas and hidden collectibles. So yeah, it's very cliche. But who knows? Maybe it's fun. I didn't even know about it until now. It looks very anime-ish, I will say.
Yeah.
We'll put a link to this in the notes so you people can see what we're talking about. Because, you know, saying it looks very anime-ish and then showing the picture doesn't work well over podcast.
Yeah, audio medium and all that. So what systems was that released for?
I found it when I clicked the, PC download, PSN, or XBLA.
Well, I may have to download this just to,
And it's only $9.99.
Just to amuse myself with what could potentially be an awful game or potentially be a hilariously silly game.
I'm guessing kind of silly. Looks like it's the used cel-shaded art style. I mean, it looks nice.
I mean, it doesn't seem like things are bad. It's just kind of like they're just...
cliché.
There.
It's like they need a new writing department. They maybe have the... you know, development and the art department. They don't have the writing department.
Yeah, but they're not the only ones having trouble.
Yeah, because THQ also started selling off chunks of itself. Fortunately, we will still eventually see at South Park the Stick of Truth, as Ubisoft bought THQ Montreal that was going to publish, along with the publishing rights for that game, along with an unknown IP that hasn't been announced yet. And so we will still be seeing that game eventually. And then other groups have bought, I know Sega bought THQ Canada, I think it was.
Which is different than Montreal?
Apparently, yes.
Okay.
Because that's the studio that held the license, and along with the licensing for all of the Dawn of War games. There were a few others. I don't remember what they were, but I think I talked about them. No, I talked about the Ubisoft buyout. I didn't talk about the Sega buyout. And then there's, I think there's been some other companies that purchased parts of THQ. I just don't know what they are off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't remember, because I was like, oh, I didn't realize they did all those. All I know is that people are like, please bring me Dawn of War 3.
Yeah, well, THQ apparently, I don't remember this, because apparently they did turn their reputation around rather quickly, but people used to joke that it standed with, to hell with quality. And now we're looking at all these games, it's like, but these are all good games that now we might not see anymore because of, like, I really enjoyed the Darksiders game.
I'm trying to think of what they used to do back in the day, because I think, I remember when they first did one of the first South Park games, you're like, really, guys? There's, like, no effort put into anything in this game.
Yeah, they really turned themselves around. Apparently, they did the wrestling games. Let's see, they did Company of Heroes, Metro Last Light. Oh, yeah, they also sold off Metro Last Light to somebody.
Yeah.
They did Darksiders 2, they did Saints Row the Third. So yeah, they did a number of games. One of the things they tried to do, which probably helps, they tried to make a new peripheral for the casual game market for the Wii, and that didn't work too well.
What was that?
They tried making this drawing pad for the Wii.
Man, I do not remember. And then Nintendo essentially made that.
You draw a game tablet.
Because now with the Wii U, we have, you know, a tablet that goes with your Wii, essentially.
Yep. They also did, let's see, the Marvel Superhero Squad, Pictionary. Yeah, they tried going after the kids' game market on consoles after the kids' game market dissolved on consoles and went to mobile devices.
See, this is the thing. My kid, he would have the console, not, you know, everything on a cell phone, because I believe you don't need a cell phone until you're at least a teenager.
Well, think if you have a family tablet, you got all these, you know, $99, $2 kids' apps that are easier just to put there than to spend $20 to $40 on a actual system or an actual game.
Yeah.
So I can see where that is advantageous, because let's admit, it doesn't take a whole lot of programming to create a let's teach you the ABCs 1, 2, 3s game. It still takes more than I probably am capable of. But
I was always weird. I did not like doing learning games.
I didn't. They were
boring. Even though I was supposed to be learning, I was just like, oh, these are not fun.
It depended on the game I was playing. I did enjoy a Daffy Duck's detective game, where you had to type letters in order for them to find the clues.
Oh, another exception is War in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, that game is awesome.
Which is mostly a game of how, you know, looking things up in an almanac.
Yeah. Anywho.
Oh, Brodenware. Why have you forsaken us and been bought and sold like 5 times?
Because they made one good game series and that was it?
They did Oregon Trail though too, right?
I think so.
Now we got all nostalgia. I feel old.
Well, you start with when I typed in where in the world, it finishes with is Carmen Sandiego in the search box. Which still has an official game site.
Because she's been released on the Wii.
Happy day!
Adventures in Math, though?
Oh!
Let's see. The Carmen Sandiego theme song, the history of Carmen Sandiego.
This is just very disappointing, Assimilator. I don't think you should have even typed it in.
Okay, they still actually have the original ones.
Wait, you can...
You can buy them from here. Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego is $9.95, Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego is $14.99, and Where in the USA is Carmen Sandiego is $14.99.
Well, guys, I'll see you later. I'm going to go buy some
But it only works on Vista 2000 and XP.
They're old, so you'd probably have to find some way to use the compatibility features to get it to work.
Well, Vista is essentially 7, so... mostly.
Or play for free online.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys have won me back giving me my old games for free.
They're the Nintendo versions.
Oh.
Well, it probably well,
it's something at least.
No, it comes up. It's the old NES versions of it, but allows you to play it online.
Konami
published it?
Apparently so.
They must have done the publishing for the NES.
So they have something for you. Again, we'll post this stuff on the notes now that we have got completely off topic of where we were starting at.
Everybody's going out of business.
Yeah, so we start talking about people who are long out of business. Or at least not in their original form anymore.
Okay, so, yeah, we actually did play games this week instead of just, you know, going over nostalgia for the old stuff from our lives. I'll let these two start with what they've done in Guild Wars, and then I'll move on to whatever I've done this week.
Guild Wars is just basically going around and completing everything before going to a new zone.
Yep.
Which means I'm 20 levels above where I should be.
Yeah, find and kill all the things. And help all the people.
Even if you don't, you're like, I already done all the events I needed to today to get my karma. But man, those poor little scrits are getting attacked. I'm going to go help them.
Yeah, it's kind of like passing through an area. Hey, an event. I don't need to do this event in it now. Finish event. Go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Bonus XP.
I have a hard time not doing an event when I'm in the area, for one.
Especially if there's other people already there. You're like, we should all help each other, and it's awesome. It's not like, wow, we're like,
screw you, rare spawn is mine.
Yeah. Oh, you need to kill this, you know, you need equal. I gotta kill it first, and then you gotta wait around for it to respawn.
If it respawns.
Yeah.
Or you'd be like me, and you accidentally kill one of the spirit pets, and your brother will never, ever let you live that down. I killed a spirit leopard.
Oops.
In the jungle zone of Northrend. I didn't know! At the time, I had no idea! I just found him like,
you just see a silver dragon around, and you're like, hey, better loot!
Yeah! And then I killed it, and my brother's like, you killed the thing that hunters are looking for all the time. I'm like...
Oh, he's a hunter too, wasn't he?
Yeah. He ended up getting the spirit wolf from, like, the really snowy tundra-y area, which I cannot remember what it's called right now.
Was he with you when you killed it?
I was with him. We were taking turns camping out for it.
No, I mean the leopard.
No. I was totally playing by myself.
So, see, you can't be faulted for that one, because you're not a... I mean, who you could, you know, not kill it and just walk away and... Nobody's gonna find it.
You can just, you know, you can just put in like general chat selling the location of Spirit Panther. Please, you know, please mail 50 gold to me.
I will tap it to keep it enraged on me, so nobody else can kill it or claim it till you get here.
Well, somebody could still show up and kill it.
Oh, they don't get any.
Like, they don't have any reason to, but they could do it just to be asses.
Yeah, that's true. See, now we're getting really all distracted again. Yeah, we just played Guild Wars 2. We can do some dungeons now, which we haven't done yet. I don't know how it's going to work. Because it's so... Nothing is dedicated, really, in this game.
Yeah, there's not really...
And I have, like, what's really weird, though, is as a guardian, I have so many Healy things. In fact, one of my tiers of skills, I barely bought enough to drop down to the next tier because everything has to do with healing. And I'm like, I don't want to heal. That is not why I picked this character.
See, a lot of mine have some passive abilities, so I'll end up equipping a lot of the passive stuff just because it's sometimes handier than the activated ability.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a lot of, you know, like, sort of, are they sigils or whatnot?
Sigils, yeah.
Sigils?
Yeah.
So I have a whole bunch on just from being, you know, a guardian. I have, like, at least 6 or 7 on my bar at a time.
Oh, well, I don't have near that many. The one that I like to keep on most typically is the one that that removes debuff every, like, 10 seconds.
I really should invest in that with the bow. I can summon a bow that will shoot people as they get conditions, but it will do everybody that's around you.
Nice. Yeah, I have different cool weapons I can summon. I have a fire axe, a frost bow, and a thunder hammer.
I have a spiritual sword and a Aegis.
Yep.
And a thorn wolf. I love my little thorn puppies. I summon him. He goes and attacks things for me.
Yeah, I mostly
temporary
jump around the field and slice things. That's kind of thieves thing.
I just kite people as I either throw fire, electricity, ice, or rocks at them.
Yeah, though I do now have two abilities that let me lay a trap that summons more thieves to beat up on a person.
Nice.
One that summons another one that summons two. So
those are coming useful, and sometimes it's just the two of us doing something. It's like, oh, we need a little bit more distraction.
Yeah, the basilisk venom is kind of handy though too, because that's the one I traded out for the dual thief.
Is that the one trap. That slows?
It freezes them. It petrifies them for a couple seconds, which can be enough for someone to get away for a moment. And
we encountered one of the events we had to do was kill this bandit leader in a camp.
He was a champion. It took there's like six or eight of us, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was quite a few of us towards the end. It hurt, but what was really bad was all the respawning. Everything was respawning like mad. There were saboteurs who, they just run up, place down a crate of explosives, and then run away. And if you don't get out, of the explosive radius, it flings you and makes everything have a universal cooldown for a few seconds, so you can't use any of your abilities, and you have to get back up, and things can wail on you. Yeah. But the champion guy was basically
a pistol wielder. He did a lot of damage.
Oh my gosh, he'd do like six shots or something at you, and I would be at full health, about 1,500 hit points, down to like 200 hit points, if I was lucky to survive. And that's even something just dodging out of the way. I was all like, oh, and then there was fire. I hate fire. It was chaotic. That's all I can say. It was mass chaos for this event. But with, all the other people that showed up, we ended up surviving. And then another event came up, so we all ended up doing that together. And then another event came up, and we did that together. So, it worked out.
People cannot stop themselves from doing events. If they're in the area for one they've already started, they'll just keep doing them until the little event thing goes away.
Yeah, so that was our crazy craziness. And I'm still waiting to find one of these epic jumping puzzles. My brother apparently has found several. And I'm like, I feel like I'm stupid. I haven't encountered... Well, there's one I kind of encountered, but it's very obvious, but I didn't get very far on it. And there's nothing really, really great at the top, so... Because my brother did it, and I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to do it now.
The point of the jumping puzzles is basically just to do them, right? Like,
for
the monthly completion?
Yeah, and there's sometimes extra stuff at the end. I mean, sometimes... You need the special spider if you're, the ranger class, I think, up there.
Ooh. See, what I just found with that I thought was interesting was I was exploring one area and came on some goggles. So I put on the goggles, jumped off a cliff, it gave me two abilities for a dive, it gave me two different abilities for a dive, and once I completed the dive and didn't die, it gave me an achievement.
I haven't encountered anything special.
Yeah, there's a place you dive off of in,
The second area for the humans.
No, the main city. Main city.
Lions Arch?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so mine I found, I was exploring that second zone after you leave the human starting area.
Keswick Hills?
Yeah, it was in the Keswick Hills.
Where?
You know where that area is where you fight the Phoenix for a skill point? I'll get online and show you guys later where it was.
I was like, Phoenix? I don't remember a Phoenix.
I'll show you guys later. Yeah. Anywho, but yeah, I actually kind of like little surprising stuff like that.
We found a little catacomb area one day that had a veteran spider in it.
That's the one I later went back there on my personal quest, and that was where my parents died.
Yeah, that's why my parents died. That thing was hard to kill by myself.
I can tear through things. I'm not terrible. I'm not greatest. But man, oh man, can I survive.
Yeah.
Frodis is like, do you bother not get hit.
Yeah, see, like, I have to, like, carefully move around things and time my various, like, dodge abilities and stuff.
It depends on what it's doing. If it's like
so the queen's just sitting there. Well, I'm playing Warcraft.
I'm sorry, you were talking to the person stacking power and toughness.
Yeah, though I have gotten better now since I got the passive ability that converts a percentage of my precision into vitality.
Yeah, which means he has more health than I do right now.
Yeah, so precision on the thief, you know, great. You know, it's all my critical chance and stuff. You know, I'm at like 40% for equal level things, 50% when I'm going against, when I'm down leveled a lot. But, so I have a lot of precision.
Cool.
And so now I have a lot of hit points, which is cool.
I keep trying to do power.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, I'm leveling. I'm just gonna put power and toughness, make me survive longer and kill things faster.
You know something that I don't miss about Guild Wars that's in almost every single MMO? A resource bar. I don't have to deal with mana. You don't have to deal with energy. You don't have to deal with rage.
No, I do. I have a resource bar.
Oh, you have a resource bar?
Yeah. It's called Initiative.
Oh.
Because I have no cooldowns, essentially, on my abilities.
See, I
can just be like, you know, I can just like throw all of my abilities in like 2 seconds if I want to.
Okay. See, I don't have any mana or anything like that. I just have to deal with my cooldowns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I have is cooldowns, too.
That's kind of my unique mechanic.
Everything has cooldown. The only thing that it's beneficial for me is to switch between my weapons a lot, since I have lots of different weapon things, because sometimes I'm like, man, I need to just put more damage output, and all my cooldowns are off. I'll switch weapons here, and oh, there we go.
Yeah, I'll switch over either... I was before going dual dagger. Now I'm trying dagger, or sword and dagger, which I kind of like, because the sword sweeps through and gets multiple people, which... helps a lot, especially when Zelda Queen has attracted several, because then I'm helping to kill several things at once.
I have a great sword. I can hit through like 3 or 4 things, depending on how close they are.
Yeah, but then I'll have either a bow or dual pistols as my alternate, so that I can be like, I'm like hurting a lot. I'm going to just kind of run away from combat.
I play my Guardian as I used to play my AoE Paladin from, you know, Burning Crusade, where you just go around and hit a bunch of stuff, and you just had so many passive abilities that, you know, just... you know, Holy Shield and whatnot. I miss that. I really do. And now Paladin doesn't work like that at all.
It seems like more you're playing like a Ret Pally, though.
Yeah.
Your Guardian.
But I don't have... because I have no AoE. Yeah, well, I have no AoEs, really, like big ones.
Yeah.
I have a couple. It just depends on how close things are. Like my Swirly Blade one, that works really well. And my Come Here, like my Scorpion ability... I basically have this thing where I throw out, like, these swords to quite a bit of targets. I've gotten as many as, like, 3 or 4, as long as they're close to me. And it wraps them in chains and sort of immobilizes them slightly. But if I click the button again, I raise up my sword and I pull, like, all of them towards me and they all fall down. So the thing is, use that, and then you do your blade whirl. Yeah, you could really, you know, hurt things.
Do you ever feel like yelling, "Get over here!"
Yeah,
when you do that?
It's very useful when if I'm in groups and things are just kind of scattered everywhere, because I have to be close.
Yeah, the other fun thing I have is my steal ability, which is different. It's not like actually stealing something from other people. It is sort of stealing an ability from them temporarily. And so I get to do things like I'm throwing, like, fireballs or, you know, big poison bolts at people. And Crystal's like, what? Where did that come from? But it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that's our adventures for, you know, the week. We're 43 now. What's the cap, 80?
Yeah.
So we're over halfway there. Hooray! It's all downhill now.
I'm not even I'm about a third of the way there, maybe. Maybe.
You got 30?
Okay, so I'm between a third and a quarter of the way there. I'm somewhere in the 20s.
25.
I didn't actually get a whole lot of time to play games this week. I did play about an hour and a half of a game that's currently in beta, so any commentary I make should be taken as in the game being beta and still being worked on and things need to be fixed. I was playing a game called Firefall, which is a sci-fi setting MMO that means they're starting to try to make their own world. The first thing that I noticed right off the bat is you choose your class, and then in the little walkthrough, they tell you how to buy other exoframes, which give you your class abilities, so you can change classes in case you don't like one, you can try another. They have 4 different exoframes. You basically have a tank, a rogue-type person, sniper rifle, and a semi-automatic machine gun. healer and engineer. I started with the guy with the sniper rifle, didn't care for him really much, switched to the healer type. I think the healer might be a little overpowered. Because every time you shoot something with your regular weapon, you heal yourself.
So oh, it makes... hello, Warlock.
Basically. So it makes it extremely easy to go into combat and not die. It's not impossible to die, but it makes it easier not to. Your secondary weapons, and your secondary weapon is a grenade launcher. And then each class has a special ability. The sniper's was he basically throws down a det pack, and then he presses the button that put it down again in order to detonate it. The heal, the medic type person, basically they throw a healing wave that any friendlies in the way of it heal. I actually was enjoying the shooting mechanic. It gives you the option between a third and first person view depending by just clicking the middle mouse button. If you are a... If you were the recon guy, that's what they call the sniper dude. He's a recon. If you're him, when you right-click, it basically points you down the eyes of the gun. Mm-hmm. Whereas with my medic, right-click was a secondary fire. So basically with my little weapon, instead of firing the needles, right-clicking turned it into a shotgun.
Firing needles!
TF2 did it.
Yep. The thing with TF2, though, is firing them didn't heal you. Which is nice. Very nice. They do have some working to do on the quest mechanics, because their initial questing was to, it taught you, you know, some of the basics of the game, how to gather resources, and then after you do that, it says to find a dynamic event in the world and complete it. Which wasn't very directional. I finally did that after about 30 minutes, and then you have no quests after that, in the beta.
Okay. It's like, but when, what... You do? Just kill all the things?
Yeah, you just basically go around and constantly kill bugs and do other dynamic quests. Lots of freaking people in the world, and it seems to be another one of those where cooperation is your friend, because it doesn't matter if somebody else tagged it. If you help them kill it, you still get experience for the kill.
Yeah.
I've noticed a lot of MMOs going that route, which is kind of nice.
I mean, we're all supposed to be the hero. Why should we be fighting and squabbling over each other when we're supposed to be on the same team?
I wonder if part of that was easier programming, you know, earlier on in the MMO sort of, you know, era.
It could be. It could also have been, they didn't really have a good way to share loot then.
That's what I mean, like, the programming side, that it's just like, it's easier just, you know, say, the first person it touches it gets it. And then, you know, as we've gone on, it's like, well, we can actually do this so that everybody can get, has a chance to get something.
I like that method. And this game, instead of loot just, you know, being... I'm not sure if everybody sees the same thing. I think everybody does, but just running over it is how you pick it up. Mm-hmm. I didn't play it long enough to find out how you get new weapons or how you upgrade your character. But what I did play, I did enjoy. There are a few bugs in it, and as I said, they're still in beta, so a lot of stuff is still to be changed over time. So I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. And then I recently finished Sword Art Online, finally. I got impatient and just downloaded the rest of it. And I will give them credit for this. At the last two episodes, I have never hated a villain so much that I wanted him to die such a painful and horrifying death. And in the game, you actually do get that in the virtual world. In the real world, the main character proves that he is better than the villain. But I really like the series. I'm definitely looking forward for it to come out on Blu-ray if it does. I just worry that Aniplex might not get good voice actors, because weren't they the ones that had the Madoka Magi one?
Yeah, Magica. Yeah. And also they're like, we live in the past though, where we only put 3 episodes on a disc and charge you $50.
Yeah, that I'm not looking forward to. So I'm hoping it might be one of those Aniplex ones that also gets licensed by somebody else to go out. Maybe, I'm hoping.
For the actual, like, dub and...
Yeah, because we've seen Aniplex... DVD release. Because I've seen Aniplex's name on other stuff done by Funimation. So I'm kind of hoping that they do one of those. But yeah, I mean, it's a great story. It does have... Each season has a definitive ending. Well, okay. The first season didn't have a definitive ending. It definitely left you open for the second season. But the set, and when the second season ends, it leaves you satisfied. You see they're continuing their lives. And the main character's not wishy-washy about who he wants to be with. In fact, the entire second season is about him rescuing the rescuing her. So, fun. It's a fun show. I definitely enjoyed it. So, yeah. So, do you guys have anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. Well, we're going to go play D&D later. Everybody have a great weekend. If you wish to send us an email, you can send that to mail@thegameslave.com. You can also find us at www.thegameslave.com. Find us at The Game Slave on either Facebook or Twitter. You've probably noticed a pattern in all that. You guys have a great week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.